week I started a series on Daniel. I've been looking at Daniel for quite a bit of time now. And you know, as you go through the first six chapters, you think, oh great, this is a great preach. As you go into chapter 7 to 12, you start to have these dreams and these visions. You thought, do I really want to be preaching that as well? So really doing a lot of research, but I believe the book of Daniel is a relevant message, a relevant book for the times that we are living in now. In fact, God's word is a relevant book for the times that we are living in now. Our culture, the truth is moving away from God. Our culture is moving away from God. Many people don't believe in God. If there is a God, why is there so much heartache in the world? Why is there so much trouble in the world? But Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And this is, I believe, the church's finest hour to rise up and be the church today in our world. And I ask the question, what do we do when we live in a world and how do we not become conformed to the way of the world and the things of our world? How can we be a blessing to our world without being shaped by our world? Because we're in the world. We're in the world. And as I reflect on my life, there is no turning back. Giving my life to Jesus was the greatest thing, apart from marrying Annette, was the greatest thing I ever did there. I wasn't sure what came first. I was. But one verse that I wanted to lay down as the main verse for the weeks that we are going to be looking at Daniel is from Romans chapter 12. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Daniel, as he lived, as he was taken captive from Jerusalem to Babylon, taken by a heathen king, didn't believe in God, taken from his home, 16 or 17 years of age, into a foreign land. But Daniel continued to live his life, I believe, with courage and conviction. He stayed devoted to his God, even in the land of Babylon. They came and they tried to change his identity, changed who he worshipped, but Daniel stayed true to God. Daniel was resolved not to eat from the king's table, but to obey his God. And this morning we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 2. I'm not going to read it all. It's quite long. Just going to pick certain parts of it. We're going to be looking at a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And so just a few verses, chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to read verses 1 to 4 in the book of Daniel. One night during the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had such a disturbing dream that he couldn't sleep. He called in his magicians, his enchanters, his sorcerers, his astrologers, and he demanded that they tell him what the dream he had. And as he stood before the king says, I have had a dream that deeply troubles me, and I must know what it means. Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, long live the king, tell us the dream, and we will tell you what it means. But the king said to the astrologers, I am serious about this. If you don't tell me what the dream was and what it means, you will be torn from limb. Whoa, who wants to be a king's advisor? And your house will be turned into a heap of rubble. And so the king has a dream. and it troubles him, and he can't sleep. And one of the things I want to, the message I want to get across from this message today is that no matter how things look or how dark things seem, God is at work. And that's a title today for those that need a title to put on the top of their page. God at work. God at work. God uses an ungodly king to bring a message and to show the glory of God. To show his glory. The context, as I said last week, the nation of Israel constantly and continually rejected God. And they were being warned over and over. And God sent and allowed the Babylonian army to come in and take captive these men from Jerusalem, the people. And Daniel, who's part of the nobility, the royal family, him and his three friends are included in that. And King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And he is troubled. And he gives them a chance. His astrologers, tell me the dream, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. You tell me what it is and the interpretation, and you will be well rewarded. Maybe the dream affected Nebuchadnezzar. Yes, God sent the dream, but I do wonder maybe if Nebuchadnezzar, as he was one of the most powerful kings, his empire, and maybe there was a bit of insecurity, because when you've got power, your fear is that you're going to lose that power. And so who knows what was going on. In verse 30, a bit further on, Daniel is saying, but God wants you to understand what was in your heart. And so God can speak into situations. Verse 10, there, the astrologers bring in a truth. No one on earth can tell the king the dream. No one on earth can tell the king the dream. And Daniel hears about it because he's one of the advisors, and he's up for the chopping block as well. And he hears about it, and he asks for some time to pray about the dream. And then he will come and tell the king his dream. Assurance. And they get praying. He gets his three friends. And he comes before God and prays. You know, and again, for the church, this is a time when prayer is so important, about praying and asking God for that wisdom, for just our world that we are living in. I believe a lot of confusion, a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble, but God wants to speak into our world today. God wants to speak into your world today. Come on, turn to someone and say, God wants to speak to you today. And then there may be someone on the other side, you can say, I just hope you're listening. Daniel believes in a God who is not aloof from the world, but is actively involved in the world and wants to speak to our world. And in verses 26 to 28, just a phrase, but there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. And Daniel, as he is praying there, that night the vision was revealed to him. I bet there was a sigh of relief. I've got it. And Daniel brings a praise to God there in verses 20. Praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise. He gives knowledge to scholars. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in the darkness. Though he is surrounded by light, he is, church, there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. And I am saying, although even the world will say there is no God, there is a God in heaven. There is, and is involved and wanting to be involved in your life. This church is full of people who have encountered the power of God. He changes seasons. He removes kings. He sets up kings. Nebuchadnezzar had the people because God allowed him to take the people into captivity. God sets up kings and he removes kings. And so the king has a dream. What is the dream? Well, let's read just some of what he saw. In your vision, Daniel was saying, Your Majesty, you saw standing before you a huge, shining statue of a man. It was a frightening sight. The head of the statue was made of fine gold. Its chest and arms were silver. Its belly and thighs were bronze. Its legs were iron. And its feet were a combination of iron and baked clay. And as you watched, a rock was cut out from a mountain, but not by human hands. It struck the feet of iron and clay, smashing them to bits. The whole statue was crushed into small pieces of iron, clay, bronze, silver, and gold. And then the wind blew them away without a trace, like chaff on a threshing floor. But the rock that knocked the statue down became a great mountain that covered the whole earth. Wow, what a dream. What a vision. This is a dream about future kingdoms. This is a dream about future kingdoms. And what Nebuchadnezzar was hearing was that his empire was temporary, that it was given by God and will be taken away by God. And these represent some of the empires that are going to be raised up. And I'm sure, as Daniel says, and King, you're the head of gold. I can imagine King Nebuchadnezzar go, whoa, head of gold, I am the head. And it's gold, better than silver and bronze and brass and clay. I am the head. But then he begins to hear that other kingdoms would come. His kingdom, the Babylonian Empire. After that, it would be the silver was representing the Medo-Persian Empire. Then would come the Greek Empire. Alexander the Great would come and he would take over. And then the Roman Empire would come. And so Daniel, and what this vision has given people an insight into the future kingdoms that are going to come. God's message, I believe, in this dream is that no matter how powerful a kingdom may be, God can remove it in an instant. God sets up kingdoms, and God can remove kingdoms. God is at work. So when we look at our world and we see how things are messed up, as we look at our politicians and our world leaders and we think, goodness me, they're making a mess of this. Let me say, God is at work. God is at work. His ways are not our ways. I mean, if we were God, we would do it different, wouldn't we? We would have a better world, I'm sure. Nebuchadnezzar's power to rule was because of God. The kingdom of God. And I'm remembering we're going to be having communion just in a bit. For the God of heaven has given you kingdom, power, and strength. Do you know, everything that we have comes from God. We are stewards of it. Our time, our money, our talents, our ministries, it's all from God. And we are stewards of it. Which gives us that challenge of using them for His glory and not for our own glory. Daniel interprets it, the king is pleased. He says, surely your God is the true God there. And you know, the lesson that I want you to take away today is that God is at work and God is in control. Come on, tell someone beside you, I know you don't like this. God is in work. God is at work. And He's in control. And you know, church, be assured, no matter how things look in your life, God is at work. Do you know, Job? Who remembers Job? Who would like a life like Job? Everything was taken away from Job. Everything. And he had his advisors saying, this is the answer, that's the answer, do this, do that. Everything. His family, his money, everything. His wife. She comes with her advice. Just curse God and die, Job. I wouldn't want to be married to her. But Job stands, and this is what he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. And at the end, He will stand upon the earth. I know. What do you know this morning? What do you know? What do you know this morning? Do you know it's bad? Do you know things are terrible? But do you know that there is a God in heaven who loves you? Do you know He has the whole world in His hands? Stop it, Karen Duke, singing that song. Another cue for a song. He's got the whole world in His hands. And yes, He can name every single person. He can see you. He can see you. He can see you. He cares about you. You. You who say, nobody notices me. God notices you. I've got here, I don't even know if it makes sense. You have to know the right no. You have, I just write things as it comes. You have to know the right no. Because we can know that things are bad. We can know that, yeah, where is my next meal going to come from? We can know that our world is this. But we can also know that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is in control, that He takes care of us, that He provides for us, that He has given us the church where we can come and support and honor and praise God and look after and bless one another. That's what I know. I know all the other stuff, but this is a know that I focus in. He is our ever-present help in times of trouble. So, God is at work. And God is in control. Second thing, I believe this is a time and an opportunity for us as a church to speak into the confusion of the world. Daniel spoke into the king's confusion. What's this dream? What's it all about? And Daniel comes and brings light into a confused situation. We have the Holy Spirit. The spirit of wisdom. And I believe, you know, and again, many of us, I don't know a lot, would have that mentality. But I believe with the Spirit of God, And as the disciples said to Jesus, you're sending us out. But what if we don't know what to do? My spirit will tell you what to say in this situation. And this is a time, I believe, for the Daniels and the Josephs, the Esthers, the men and women of God who are men and women just like us, to be raised up and speak into our world. Don't be frightened to speak into your situations. Don't be frightened to speak into your friends' situations. Do you know, the next time they say, well, I don't know if I'm going to get through this week, you turn around and say, well, I know something else. I know that God can provide for you. And give them a tenner. Faith without works is dead. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Third thing, and then we're going to be having communion in a minute. God wants us, I believe, to embrace the times and seasons that we are in. So I think one of the things we need to do as a church, and even in our own lives, is recognize the season that we are in. We have to recognize the season that we are in. Do you know, seasons come and seasons go. Do you know, you may be in a season of illness. Seasons come and seasons go. Do you know, maybe you're in a place where you're just not got a job. Do you know, and you're just wanting to be in employment, and that is right. But it's recognizing the season that you were in. Do you know, when God asked me to give up my work in the post office, a great job, a wife, three children, great wage, and God says, I want you to give up your job because you're going to work for me. And I left on a Friday, and I says, okay, God, I am starting work for you on the Monday. Where is it? And for 2 years, I was unemployed. But I had to come to a place of embracing the season that I was in, that God was working on my heart, that God was preparing me for working for the church that came 2 years later. But we have to recognize the season that we are in. Do you know, I, as much as I could do children's work, I couldn't go back to working with children. This is a different season for me. Praise God. Thank God. I thank God for the Andrews. This is a season where, and again, that tension came because Annette and I, we were leading a kids' work with about 80 children every Sunday, being blessed. Parents saying, I only come to this church because of the kids' work. And we were like, oh, aren't we good? Until God got a hold of us. And then the transition came as God took me into ministry and God says, you have to leave. And certainly my pastor there was saying, you need to come out of the children's work and into the big adult church. No, don't take me there. The season of working with the kids, being blessed as I saw kids grow in God. A different season came. We've got to embrace the season that we're in. You know, for our students, the season that you're in is study. And it's embracing that and getting your head down and working. And I believe God does bring favor. God raises profiles when we give our life to Him. So God wants you to embrace the season that you are in. Jesus embraced the season that He was in as He headed towards the cross. He knew the timing and He knew the purpose. In John 12, verse 27, Jesus is praying and He says, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Save me, Father, from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. To glorify your name. Do you know, that was a prayer, not my will, but your will be done. God is in control. God is at work. And He has set times and seasons for our life. And you know, for a lot of us, we need to change our self-talk. We need to change our self-talk. And the final three things, times and seasons. What times and season are we in? So I believe for the church, do you know, I spoke about Pakistan. Houses, churches been burned to the ground even last week and the week before. This is a season of hostility. This is a season of hostility for the church all over the world. You know, we are not facing much persecution here in the West. Probably prejudice, yeah, maybe. People not wanting to hear the gospel, yeah. But all over this world, men and women are losing lives, losing homes. So we're in a season of hostility in this world. Jesus says, when these things take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. I believe this is a season of harvest. Because in amongst all the stuff that's happening, there is men and women who are saying, there must be more than this. There must be more than this. They're losing hope. But we carry the message of hope. Jesus is the answer for our world. This is a season of harvest. Do you know, in the year 2000, there was 1.8 billion Christians. This is a recent survey in 2023. 1.8 billion Christians. In 2023, 2.5 billion Christians over this world. In Africa, they say the year 2000, 384 million Christians. In 2023, 718 million Christians. In Asia, 2,281 million Christians. In 2023, 407 million Christians. Something tells me this is increasing. In the year 2000, 54 million Bibles printed. In 2023, 95 million Bibles have been printed. The Word of God. There is a harvest, church. There is a harvest. And our world doesn't want to hear our opinions, doesn't want to hear what you think. They want to hear, I believe, the gospel is the power of God for salvation. Jesus lived a gospel of love and compassion and truth. And truth. And in Daniel, he saw as these empires would rise and fall, saw an empire and a kingdom come that would never end. The kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God, and you are part of it. And if you are not part of it and you don't know Jesus today, my prayer for you is give your life to Jesus, be part of his kingdom, and see the transformation that God can do in your life and through your life. And I'm going to ask the band if they would come back.